And I enjoyed the morning hour this morning with you. And there's a good spirit amongst our people today, and I'm grateful for that. And I want to try to preach a little thought that God's laid on my heart. And I'm not expecting it to get out of the banks tonight. It didn't get out of the banks this morning, and I don't expect it to get out of the banks tonight. But I want to try to bring a thought that that may be a little bit of encouragement to us. And like I said, we may not run the aisles and jump the pews, but I think a truthful thought that we can apply to our lives and help us in this particular time. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Song of Solomon again this evening in chapter number 7. Song of Solomon, chapter number 7, and verse number 8. I want to use the same text that I used in the morning hour and try to bring a little different thought, a little different slant to the message than what we looked at in the morning hour. And preaching on that palm tree and Christ's presence in the palm tree, which is the top of the church. And so let's stand together as we read our text tonight. If you would please, Song of Solomon chapter 7, let's stand together and read verse number 8. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that verse of Scripture to our hearts this evening in this hour. Let's bow together to pray. I want to ask my boy if he'd pray for me tonight as we try our best to preach the Word of God. Benny, you pray, please. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'm not going to try to impress anybody tonight. We're kind of slow, been that way all day, and those days do come. And God's still on the throne, and He directs everything about our life, so He is right on target, knows what He's doing. And I think too many times we go to church and try to make something happen, and about the only thing we really do is make a fool out of ourselves, rather than seeing anything happen for God. Now, I'm not really wanting to make a fool out of myself tonight, so I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. If I have to read my text and my scripture, that's what we'll do. But He said in verse number 8, in the first part of that verse, I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. And in the morning hour, we preached a little while as God led us on the glories in the palm tree, or the glory of Christ inside His church and working in the hearts and lives of God's people. And tonight, I want to pick up that same thought, if I can, and preach for a little while on Christ working in His church. He said He'd take hold of the boughs thereof, or the limbs of that palm tree. Now, I find in this verse of Scripture two declarations by our Lord. One is when He said, I will go up to the palm tree. He is here emphasizing His presence in the church. I will go up to the palm tree. And I'm going to be quite honest with you, we're not going to accomplish much in church without the presence of the Lord. To do so is entirely vanity of all vanities. For the work that is to be accomplished is a spiritual work, and it must be done by the power of Almighty God. You know, in the book of Revelation, in that church at Ephesus, our Lord walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He had His place there working inside the church. And I noticed too that when Israel journeyed toward the land of Canaan. In Exodus 33:14, the Lord gave them this promise. And I could preach a while there. I'll never forget in 1984, when I was preparing to go to Arizona, God spoke to my heart out of this same passage of Scripture. I was searching for somebody that I felt needed to go to Arizona with me. You know, we always want a partner. We always want a helper. And I confronted the Lord with that question. And that night, in the confines of my own home, in verse 14, the Lord said to Moses there, but He spoke to my heart, and He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." But in the very next verse, in verse 15, Moses said, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence, and there not to be going to be much accomplished, or there's not going to be much accomplished without the presence of God." God said, "My presence, Moses, will go up there with you." And Moses said, "Lord, if you're not planning on going with us, then whatever you do, don't carry us up there." I tell you, church, it is just about foolish to try to fight spiritual battles without the presence of God. It's vanity to try to work in the church or to think that anything can be accomplished without the presence of Almighty God. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I've got a hobby horse, that's it, is the presence of God in the house of God. I tell you, we've got to have it. His presence brings the blessing. His presence brings the grace of God. His presence brings the liberty of the Spirit. His presence brings the help of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, we have got to have His presence in the house of God. But that second declaration is what I want to preach on tonight. When He said, "I will take hold of the boughs thereof." That indicates the Lord's work in the church. Not only His presence there, but His work there in the church as well. And I want to say this, friend. As long as the Lord's people inhabit the planet Earth, we're going to find Him in the church, working, doing what He wants to do in the house of God. I know many times we come to church and it seems to be dry and lifeless, and you can't seem to find God with a radar gun. But I want to be right honest with you. He's not far off. He said unto Him, "Be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, worlds without end." And that is exactly what God meant in the Word of God. When He said that my presence, He said, "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee," that is exactly what our Lord meant. And we may not always see Him working, but He is working. And you may not always see Him working in your life, but take my word for it, according to the Bible, God is always working. I believe it was Job that said He looked behind Him. He looked to the right hand, to the left hand, and in front of Him, but yet he could not find God working. But the Bible said that Job realized that God knew the way that he was taken, and when he was tried, he would come forth as gold. And I'm here to tell you, friend, we might not always know where God is, but God always knows where we are, and God is always active. He's always at work in the house of God. Now, listen to this verse. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Amen and amen. He said that to His disciples concerning that little woman at the well. He said, "My meat is to do the will of God and to finish the work that God has called me to do." And friend, as long as the church is in the world, that work of the Lord Jesus, who is the head of the church, is going to continue. I don't know what He's doing tonight. I'm not God. But He's doing something. And it's our responsibility to find where He's working and give Him the praise and the glory for exactly what God is doing in our midst tonight. Amen. He's here working somewhere, and He will be here until the work God's given Him is finished upon this earth. He said in John 5:36, he said, but I have greater witness than that of John.
Amen.
For he said, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now, I want to say that Jesus is not like half-hearted Baptist.
Amen.
No, he's not like an ill-fated Baptist.
Amen.
He doesn't halfway do something.
Amen.
Or half-heartedly do something.
Amen.
Brother, when he starts a work, he is going to complete the work that he begins. And by the way, he has started a work in the church.
Amen.
This is his bride. This is his church. He purchased it with his own blood. He is gracing it with his presence, blessing it with his power. He's decorating it with his Holy Spirit. And he will continue to work in the church and ornament our hearts by the grace of God until you and I are called out of this world to meet him in the clouds. And the Bible said this, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so he's working. He's not like us. I've seen a lot of folks start and quit. I've seen a lot of preachers start and quit. And buddy, it's a getting easier for them to quit all the time. Boy, I'll tell you, it's not easy pastoring today. You're talking about hard times. We're living in that night season. Jesus said, you better work while it is yet day, for the nights are coming when no man can work. I'm telling you, friend, we have just about arrived at that time in life when the darkness has crept across our churches and it's just about impossible to do anything for God. Churches are closing their doors. Missionaries are no longer going to the field. Oh, yes. America is going to hell, and it does not seem like anybody gives a flip about what is going on in our land today. That missionary, the evangelist, it was Brother Steve's yesterday, has been in Boston. And he had a little chart there from a pastor in Boston that give the population of the surrounding cities around the metropolitan area of Boston. Way over 1 million people. And not one Baptist preacher. And my friend, I want to remind you that years ago, D.L. Moody stood in a church where the Commons, what they call the Boston Commons, is at today, and declared the Word of God and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, that city and that state is all but in apostasy, without God, without Baptist preachers, wrapped up in Roman Catholicism. But I want to tell you something. God is still at work in the house of God, doing what God wants to do in our midst. You better believe it. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, I've quoted this so many times, but I'll read it again tonight. He said, being confident of this very thing. Are you confident of it? That he which hath begun a good work, there's that word again, a good work in you. He said that he was going to finish his work, and finish his work in you. That is right. Oh, yes. He said, with a work in you, and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, you better buckle down right there and get exactly what I'm telling you, friend, that there's no need of you trying to rebel on God. He has started a work in you. He'll finish that work in you, or he will call you out to glory prematurely in your Christian life. Yes. He is still at work. He said, I will go up to that palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. I'll not only present myself in the church, but I will work in that church to bring glory unto my Father that sent me into the world to die on the cross, to save them, and to finish the work that he's called me here to do. Amen and amen. I want to ask you, what is that work that he's doing in the church? What is that work? Now, I'm going to try to help some of you right here. Maybe this is why God's got us real slow. Don't leave me now. What is he doing in the church? Let her soak. I think sometimes we think it's just a mystical thing. That the Bible says he's here. But Brother Hall, I can't see him. I've not heard him. I can't feel him in my life right now. What's he doing? Well, let me ask you something. Has God lied? Oh, no, God hadn't lied. What is he doing in the church right now? What does he do every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Tuesday night when he lets God's man get up here and to the best of his ability break the bread of life, preach to you the Word of God to try to encourage your hearts to live for him? What's he doing? I want to say, number one, he is planning our lives.
Amen.
You get a hold of that? I said, God is planning our lives. Oh, somebody said, no, preacher, I'm taking care of my own life. No, you took care of your own life, ever how long it was, up until the time you got saved. And from that point onward, Jesus has been planning your life for you. You don't do as you will. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work that he gave me to do. And I'm telling you, in the church, son, I'm telling you, we better put a greater emphasis on the church than what we do. Amen. And that crowd that believes in that big, invisible, universal church that can go to church in their living room watching television on Sunday morning and listen to Benny Hinn, Billy Graham, and all that other bunch of charismatics and ungodly devils. Oh, that ain't church, friend. I'm not talking about what God's doing out there. I'm talking about what God's doing for you right here at Island Ford Baptist Church. I won't say he is planning your life if you'll listen to him. He is planning your life for you. Telling you what direction to make. What decisions to make. Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. Read the last verse of Psalm 48. For this God is our God. He will be our guide even unto death, friend. He's a plan in your life. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, how you mean that? Have you ever read about Joseph?
Amen.
In two dreams, or should I say, two encounters with God.
Amen.
God totally laid out the life of Joseph and told him in two dreams, in two encounters, exactly what God was going to do with him in his life. He said, Joseph, I'm going to take you down into the land of Egypt.
Amen.
And it'll be there that your brothers and your mother and your father will come down and bow down to you and you will sustain them in their life.
Amen.
And as far as I know, I can't find nowhere in the Bible that God ever spoke to Joseph as clear as he did on those two occasions.
Amen.
See, we've got the idea that God's got to speak to us every day. Son, I'm going to tell you something. You better take the marching orders that God's given you with and march until God changes those marching orders.
Amen.
Brother Billy, been a whole lot of preachers left churches that God put them in and they left there without marching orders and their life is a total mess today because of it.
Amen.
They've been a whole lot of people that has left churches without getting marching orders from God and their lives are in an absolute mess today because they didn't listen to the plan that God had for their life. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've had God to speak to my heart a number of times. I had him speak to my heart tonight, this afternoon. I'll be honest with you, I'm just telling you how I feel in my heart. But after I got done outlining my message, I sat down and got up from that little old chair. I was there in my house, had Brother Steve over there the other night, and he said, Pastor, you don't sit in that and study. Yeah. Oh, it is a little folding chair. I sit in a folding plastic chair to do my study in a straight chair. Are you listening to me? When I got done outlining that, I just eased over and sat down on that sofa. And I said, Lord, I want to thank you for the morning hour. And God, I want to thank you for our people. And there's people in our church whose lives need help. They need direction. They need the Word of God. They need some light from that book, Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you. At that point, God broke my heart. And I'm just telling you what I done. I was wearing my bathrobe over my clothes. because it's cool upstairs. And I pulled that robe up over my head and wept for some of you in here like a baby. Because I want to see, hey, God's tried to plan some of your life, and I'm afraid some of you is like Paul, you're kicking against the pricks. He does not have to speak to you as clearly every day, my friend, to get control of your life and lead you in your life. Just follow God and do what the last order God gave you to do. I can remember several distinct times in my life when I got saved. I started trying to follow God. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. On that Wednesday night in 1981 at Bible Baptist Church, it weren't no audible voice, but I'm going to tell you it's about as clear as an audible voice. God said, it's time for you to get out of your country and go to a place that I'll show you and I'll bless you there. And buddy, he brought me to Rumsey, Kentucky. And the marching orders hadn't changed. Amen. When I was going to Arizona, he said, my presence will go with you. His marching orders hadn't changed. When he said, turn eastward, I turned eastward and come back to this place, and the marching orders hadn't changed. I'm telling you that God has not spoken to my heart in that kind of a voice, my friend, since that day that I left Arizona.
Amen.
I tell you, he don't have to.
Amen.
He told me to come here, and I've got the Bible as the precept to live by, and the Bible can tell me how I ought to live in the place that God has directed me to live for Him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you better find old Jack Hiles years ago, and ain't the only lie Hiles ever told. But he said, it don't matter where, it's the what that makes a difference. I have got news for Jack Hiles and everybody. It does make a difference where. I could not be fruitful for God nowhere but Island Ford Baptist Church, Madisonville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
This is where God said go to. God is planning your life, friends. God, through the church, in the church, is planning, laying out the guidelines and planning your life for you, and He leads you along in the house of God. He did, old Joe. Yes, sir, He did. Now, look here. I said He's planning out our lives for us.
Amen.
Just like a road map. I remember when Miss Hall and I went on our vacation to Massachusetts. Old Benny called the State Farm or whoever it was. No, AAA. And I went up to AAA and they give me a map, buddy. They showed me on that map where there was road work going on, where there was detours. They showed me how far it was from one town to the next town, and from here, and wherever stop sign was along the way. And I'm going, guess what? I followed that little old map by my minute detail, and guess where we wound up at? Hyannisport, Massachusetts, friend, right exactly where that little map said we ought to wind up. And if you follow God's plan for your life, you may make some detours, some stop signs, but you will wind up in glory someday, right exactly where God said you would. He's planning your life in the church. Now come on now. May I say that there's a promise of finding our life. Come on, the house, children. Matthew 10:9, he that findeth his life shall lose it.
Amen.
And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.
Amen.
Amen. It was down at the church house that I lost my life.
Amen.
But it was also at the church house that I found my life.
Amen.
Oh, and my life had a beginning point. And hallelujah to God. I wish I could sing if I wasn't so hoarse. I started at Calvary. It's what that little old song says. It started it all at Calvary, buddy. I found Calvary down at the house of God. And God, through the church, began to plan my life and lay out my life for me. I found my life at Calvary. I'm going to tell you, I found it because I lost it. Somebody said, what'd you lose? Well, I counted all but dung.
Amen.
That I might win Christ.
Amen.
All of it but dung. I'm going to say, I found my real life. This is my life. Church is my life. Christ is my life.
Amen.
People is my life. Preaching is my life. Hallelujah to God. Trying to help somebody out of a hard spot in my life and my work and my ministry.
Amen.
Praise God. I couldn't do nothing else. I'm telling you, September 13, 1970, I lost my life. But I found it. Hallelujah. That promise of finding our life. And there's some pain that comes with that life. The Christian life that God plans has got pains in it. It's not always a bed of roses. It's not peaches and cream. It's not cake and ice cream. There's some bitter herbs along the way. Son, there's been times that I have been disappointed. Not in Him. But there's been some disappointments along the way. I've had some to go out from us that were not of us. For had they been of us, they no doubt would have remained with us. But they went out from us that their deeds might be made manifest that they were not of us. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, it disappoints me every time somebody kicks out on God. Especially when they kick out on God, yoke up with some liberal mess, and claim to be in love with God. You don't kick out of a right kind of a church and yoke up with some liberal devil and be right in your heart. I don't care who you are, how you put on your panties or drawers, son, or lace up your shoes. You cannot go to some stinking liberal, backslidden Baptist church and be right with God. If I had to, are you listening to me? If I had to, I'd drive. I would. If I had to and I wasn't a preacher, I would move. I would move to find the right kind of a church. I'm telling you, friend, a church is more important to you than a job. Oh, somebody said, preacher, I've got to make a living. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would be worth finding a job, friend, and going to hell over? What job is worth hell over? What job is worth watching your kids go to hell for? I'll get some word. Preach to them, buddy. And there ain't no perfect church. If you ever find one, don't join it. You'll run it. There ain't no perfect ones. We're an imperfect people living in an imperfect world. But hallelujah to God, I've got a promise of being perfect someday by the grace of God. Are you listening? There's some pains, buddy. There's some disappointments. There's some discouragements. There's some dissidents. I'm talking about people that have parted from us. Pain. There's some pain. There's some things you got to give up.
Amen.
Some things you got to change. Some things you got to do that some folks in your family ain't going to understand.
Amen.
Some things that some folks around you ain't going to understand. If you're going to find the life that God wants you to have. Somebody said, now preacher, I don't believe that. I'm going to tell you what. When Jesus was out of preaching one day, His own brethren came to Him. And they said, hey, the people around Him said, He is mad, son. He is mad. He's crazier than a lunatic. You know what they said about Paul? That fellow said about Paul. Said, Paul, much learning doth make you mad. Said, you're crazier than a bed bug, son. They some people that will think you're nuts if you live that life. There's some pain there, buddy. You're going to have to give up some things, give up some people. Give up some places.
Amen.
I got to give Sister Hall credit. On this area, she's been a little stronger than I have. She still hadn't been in Kroger store or Walmart here in Madisonville.
Amen.
She said, I ain't a going there. We fought liquor there and I ain't a going.
Right.
She ain't been there. I don't guess she'll go and I'm not going to make her go.
Amen.
No, sir.
Right.
No. Some pain along the way. But I'm going to say, friend, in this life that He's planning, there is some patience. There is some patience that must possess us in life. Hey, we're going to have to wait for the good things of life. Some folks got the idea, buddy, that the good things, all you got to do is snap your finger. Health and wealth, boys. Snap your finger and it's here today. Hey, I'm going to tell you, anything that's good is worth waiting for. Give it some time.
Yes.
Wait on God. Huh? Whole lot of marriages is kicked out because people wouldn't wait on God.
Amen.
Whole lot of folk departed the church because they wouldn't wait on God.
Amen.
The Bible said, in your patience possess you your soul. Have a little patience. Take a little pain. Somebody said, you don't understand my mate. I don't. I'm married to one of them, fellas. I may know about as much about women as you do.
That's right.
I was married to one, got two of them that are close kin, and how many that's kind of distant kin in these grand younguns? How many girls? There's one, two, three, four, five. So all together, I got nine of them. I know a little bit about them.
Amen.
You better learn to be patient with them, gentlemen.
Amen.
Huh? They'll aggravate the living daylights out of you. You ain't got the same makeups. You're different. Men and women are different. You don't look at nothing alike. That's right.
Amen.
Well, preacher, she just don't do things right around the house. Bless God, what do you do right around the house, buckwheat?
Amen.
I'd say there's two shoes that goes on both, one on each foot.
Amen.
And by the way, ladies, you better learn to be a little patient with him.
Amen.
Just because he don't jump, just because he don't holler, "How high, sweetheart," when you say jump. I'm not a jumper, buddy. You know what Lester Roloff said? Lester Roloff said last night on his program, said that some of you preachers out there better take the bull by the horns, and sometimes you're going to have to tell your wife to sit down and shut up. Brother Roloff said that. I didn't say that. Brother Roloff said that. But I'm going to say, on the other hand, you better be spiritual enough to realize when you better buckle your tongue up too, buddy.
Amen.
Sometimes it's better off to keep your mouth shut,
amen,
swallow your pride, and go on serving God.
Amen.
Most things will work out if you will shut up.
Amen.
Some old drill sergeant. Fellas got into it in the military. And he set these two men down. He said, "Now, fellas," he said, "y'all been arguing for about 2 weeks now." He said, "If you take something that stinks and stir it, take an old dead deer carcass and stir that thing," he said, "it'll stink." He said, "Let it settle down for about a week. And the odor will kind of settle down. Stir it again, it'll stink again." He said, "As long as you stir it, it's going to stink." He said, "As long as you leave it alone, the odor will go away." Hey, sometimes you're better off just to shut up and forget. If it don't amount to flip a booger, what do you worry about it?
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you what. I don't know where, I don't know what I'm doing here, buddy. But I'm going to tell you, on the other hand, there's some time, sir, ma'am, when you better sit down and open up your heart and tell your sweetheart what's in your heart. Be honest, open, up front, and tell one another what is in your heart. What is bothering you? Nobody can make nothing right if they don't know what to make right.
Amen.
I learned that well the other day now. Told Mrs. Quiet in here, ain't it? I was sitting over upstairs. Miss Hall brought me a big bacon sandwich up there. I was sitting there studying. She brought me a bacon sandwich up there, that good bacon on there, biscuit. Boy, it was good. Praise God. She sat down there on the end of the couch and we was talking. And I said, "Babe, I think I'll go to Mexico in December." And she said, "And I might not be here when you get back." Well, I said, "Praise God, you going to do what I said? Maybe I don't want you here when I get back." He said, "Are you sure about that?" I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean that at all." I said, "Can we talk this thing out?" She said, "I think that'd be good."
Amen.
She said, you might learn well that if you want to go to Mexico, at least break it in gentle and just say something to me about it. What do you think about going? There ain't nothing wrong with that. Man, come on now, don't look down your eyeballs at me. You just walk up and tell your wife, "God just told me to sell out everything we got and go to Bolivia's missionaries." You better break her in easy on that.
Right.
Big moves, big changes, big decisions. You better discuss it. She's got a right, gentlemen. She has got a right. It's like old Uncle Merrill Rutter said one time, missions come. Said me and Aunt Dottie, when we got married, said we made this pact between us. Said that every major decision I'd make it and every minor decision she'd make it. Said, guess what? Said, there ain't been a major decision made in our marriage. It ought not to be that way.
Amen.
I don't know how I got off on that. Wait for the good things.
Amen.
Look here, I'm going to tell you what the first, and I say this in love and honesty, buddy, but the first several 10, 12, 14 years of our marriage was hell on a freeze. But we both knew that the divorce court was not the place to go. And you better hear what I'm telling you. If the divorce court is not the place to go, sir, ma'am, you better make the best effort you got to make her work. Because you are stuck. You are stuck. You are stuck whether you like it or not. You're stuck in the eyes of God. And you better make her work to the glory of God and to the blessing of your life. You can put some happiness in there.
Amen.
God's working in the church to plan your life.
Amen.
Are you listening? I've heard of men and women, and I'm not trying to sound vulgar, that don't even share, husband and wife that don't even share the same bedroom. If you think you can have a marriage like that, you're dumber than a box of rocks.
Amen.
It won't work.
Amen.
Better sit down and talk.
Yes.
Take some pain. The life that he planned, son. He said one man, one woman for life. Sit down and take some pain to make it work.
Amen.
I don't know why I got on that, but it sure is quiet in here.
Amen.
I'm having a good time. Amen. But not only is he planning our lives, he's preparing our lives.
Amen.
In the church, when he takes hold of the bowels thereof, son, and works, he is preparing our lives.
Amen.
He's preparing them for eternity.
Amen.
Woo! Son, there's more to life than the dirty now and now. There's an eternity out there.
Amen.
Sifting out the hearts of men before the judgment seat. He is preparing us to spend eternity with Him. He's doing that by quitting our sins. John 3:5, 1 John 3:5. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. That word take means to raise or to lift. I'm glad, or to sail away. I'm glad burdens are lifted at Calvary. That's the first preparation for your eternal life, son, is getting your sins under the blood, getting the burden of your guilt and condemnation off of you.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 9:26 said, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that means to set it aside. Now, can you get a hold of this? He took away our sin and then he put it away. He took our sin, or He took my sin off of me. He's preparing me for eternity. Here is my condemnation, my guilt. He took it away.
Amen.
But He had to do something with it. There ain't no such thing as cyberspace for sin.
Amen.
And so He put it away.
Amen.
Literally means He put it in a drawer and shut the door and put a padlock on it that no man's got a key for.
Yeah.
And then He went on to say that Christ was once offered,
amen,
to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen.
You get a hold of that. He took away our sin. He put away our sin. And He's coming back without our sin.
Amen.
Woo! And He's done it in the church.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Miss Sharon, where'd you first hear the gospel? I mean, when you started getting right with God. You come on down here, though, didn't you? Something on the radio said you need to come on down. My. Huh? Oh, you thought you ought to go on down there to that little church. How long have you been in church, Robert? A long time. Where did you first hear the gospel? Prepare your life, son, from right here. If you think this few years we got on this earth is all there is to it, you're ignorant. Son, this is just a preparation point. He had just started. This is just the beginning point of our life. Son, let the world roll on behind you and serve God. We've got a long life to live out yonder in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, you hey, somebody said, I'm going to lay up money now. You better lay it up in heaven. I ain't got no problem somebody having a little money laid back. But I'm going to tell you what you better do with the bulk of her. Put her in God's bag, fella.
Amen.
You go, why? Somebody said, why? Because you're going to have a lot more time up there than you got here.
Amen.
He's preparing us for eternity by quitting our sins. He's preparing us for eternity by acquainting us with Himself.
Amen.
I'd hate to think I'm going to spend eternity with somebody, Brother Billy, and not know anything at all about him. I ain't done preaching yet. Huh? Ain't no need to die. I'm going to tell you, the church is to acquaint you with Christ. I'd hate to think I'm going to spend eternity with somebody I don't know one ragtag flippant thing about. That means studying the Bible, praying, coming to the house of God, putting something in your heart, some knowledge about that book and about God.
Amen.
You're learning about the church house, buddy. That verse of Scripture we quote so many times, Brother Paul said, that I may know Him.
Amen.
That I may know Him intimately. That I may know more about Him.
Amen.
More about Jesus.
Amen.
More about Jesus would I know.
Amen.
More of His grace to others show.
Amen.
More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. Oh, hey, we ought to come to church with a hungry soul, folks. Yeah, hey, did you ever meet a stranger? For the most part, it's kind of rough. I remember when I used to go down, Brother Allen's have to stay in them dormitories down there. Be two or three or four or five other men all around there, and I just keep looking at them guys. Oh, what's that job doing? That dude eases out of that bed. It's on, I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know him from Adam's house cat. I'd hate to go to heaven and walk up to Jesus and say, sir, who are you? Well, young man, I'm Jesus. And you mean tell me that you have been preaching about me and knowing me for 40 years and don't even know me? Do we really know Him tonight? He's in the church! Son, if He's here every time we come together, you would think by now that we would know a few things about Him.
Amen.
His grace, His goodness, His mercy, His love, His power, His holiness.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, He says.
Amen.
Amen to God.
Amen.
Y'all slow, but I'm having a good time preaching to you. I'm just telling you, I am having a good time. I think what I'm saying is soaking in. Amen to God. He acquaints by acquainting Himself with us.
Amen.
He prepares us not only for eternity, He's preparing us for evangelism. In the church.
Amen.
Has it ever occurred to you that Peter, James, John, and all that other crowd spent 3.5 years with Him before they ever
Amen.
Preached a message
Amen.
About the grace of God?
Amen.
That's right.
Matthew 28:19
said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Lo, I'm with thee always, even in the end of the world. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world.
Amen.
I want to say thirdly that He is proving us in the church.
Amen.
I want to read Brother Steve's favorite verse, Exodus 20:20. Moses said unto the people, fear not. For God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your eyes. That you sin not. I'm telling you that God proves us that we might not sin against God. that we ought to fear God a little. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, oh, preacher, fear this. I'm going to fear this. I'm going to tell you what you better fear is God, neighbor. Don't fear a man that can destroy your body, have no power of your soul, but fear a God that can take your body and soul and cast them both into hell. And if there was really a reverential fear of God, we would not sin the way we sin. We wouldn't live the way we wouldn't pooge mouth and buck and bow and bleh. You know what I mean? Fearing God. People, hey, in the church, he's going to prove your salvation. They ain't a person in this church, if you're lost, that you'll go to hell thinking you're saved. I guarantee you on that.
Amen.
He'll prove before you die, whether you're in or whether you're out. He wants you to know it. He wants you to nail her down, son. Come to a full assurance of your faith.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I'm talking about proving the fact that you're saved in the house of God. Your spirit agreeing with the preaching. Your spirit agreeing with the Bible. Your spirit agreeing with the Sunday school teacher. Your spirit agreeing with the song. Believing the Bible.